Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. Today is Wednesday, August 25th.
October.
Did I say August? October 25th. And we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly lunch and learn. We are also on Facebook Live. And we are here to study Parshat Lech Lecha. And Parshat Lech Lecha offers us an insight into a fascinating event in the life of Avraham and an opportunity to judge something regarding Avraham's life. We are familiar with the idea that Avraham had 10 tests, right? The Mishnah in Pirkei Avot teaches us Asara Nisyonot, that Avraham was tested 10 times over the course of his life. And it's possible that one of the tests is the section of the Torah that we're going to study today. And we'll ask a couple of fundamental questions. But let's start with the text, because the text itself, I think, presents us with a jarring episode, which we don't often pay attention to just how surprising and shocking it may be. We meet Avraham in chapter 12 for the first time this week. Vayomer Hashem al Avraham. Before his name is Abraham, it's Abram, Avraham. Before it's Avraham, it's Avram. Vayomer Hashem al Avraham. Lech lecha me'artzecha umi moladitcha umbeit avich al eretz asher ereka. Famous words that God says to Abram, go forth from your native land and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. That is, and then the promise. Ve'escha legoy gadol, vavarechecha, ve'agadla shemecha ve'ebracha. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And then the famous verse, and I will bless those who bless you, and curse that him that curses you, and all the families of the earth shall bless you. So Avraham, being fortified and psyched up by this promise, despite the difficulty that it entails, sets out on his way. Vayelech Avraham kasher diber elav Hashem. Just as God had told him, this is verse 4, just as God had told him, Avraham sets out on his way, and he takes Lot with him, and he's 75 years old when he leaves Haran. So Avraham, while the rest of us are looking to retire, or have already retired at 75 years old, Avraham is literally starting from scratch. He's leaving everything behind. He's a new man.
How old was he when he died?
176. What? I'll check. I'll check that in a second.
He's just middle-aged.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, fair point that he's just middle-aged.
But were the years then the same as the years now? Or they calculated it differently?
I don't know. It's hard to know. But I think it would be the same. Avraham was 175 years old when he died. Okay? So he's younger than middle age. Okay, fair enough. But he doesn't know he's going to live that long, although people did live longer. That's a fair point. Okay, in any case, he's 75 years old. He sets out on his way. He takes Lot with him. He takes Sarah, his wife, with him. And they go. Vayavor Avram ba'aretz ad mikom Shechem adalan morev akniv az ba'aretz. Verse 6, he passed through the land as far as the side of Shechem, and the Canaanites were in the land then. And then what happens? Vayira Hashem el Avram, Vayira Hashem el Avram, Vayomer lezaracha etein et aretz hazot, Vayiven sham mizbeach laHashem hanira elav. God says, this is the place. The Lord appeared to Avram and said, I will assign this land to your offspring, and he built an altar. Right? When he sets out on the journey, he doesn't know where he's going. Okay? He's just walking. And he gets to somewhere, and God says, this is the place. You've made it. This is the place where I am going to apply all the blessings of making you a great nation, etc. This is the place. And then Avraham, while he's there, he decides to go on a little tour. Avraham haloch v'nasoah hanegba. And then in verse number 9, Abram journeyed by the stages toward the Negev. Okay. Then what happens? Verse number 10. Vayira ba'aretz vayered Avraham mitzrayim ala gorsham ki kaved harab ba'aretz. He gets to the place. God says to him, I want you to leave everything behind and go to the place I'm going to show you. and I'm going to make you a great nation. He gets there. God says, this is the place where all your blessings are going to unfold. And then what happens? He's got to leave. Right? We very often don't pay attention to the stark turn of events. Right? Just when he gets to the place, and maybe one could argue maybe some time passed between these verses and verse 10. We don't know. The way that it's presented to us in the text is that as soon as Avram gets there, he spends whatever amount of time and is looking around at this new land that God promises him. Maybe he's ready to settle down, he's ready to build a house, he's ready to establish his new roots. Boom. Vayihira av ba'aretz, there was a famine, and the famine was so bad, right, that Avram decides he's got to leave. So just imagine how Avram felt.
Did God tell him all the steps that he has to go till?
No, God says leave. God says leave. He leaves.
No,
there's no indication this is what God...
So did he tell him?
No, this is just Avraham's decision to walk around and check out the land that God had given him. Once God tells him it's the place. Why is it wasting time?
Because if he had gone earlier, he wouldn't be around.
No, he's there. He's there. He's already there. In verse 7, Vayera Hashem al Avram Merlo Zarechatin Ha'aretz Hazot, the place where you are, this is the land. Avram's there already. And now he goes around to check it out. So he's not wasting time. He's already arrived. And maybe he's looking for the best place to put his house, where he wants to be closer to a good school zone.
Right?
Right, wants to make sure it's not in the flood zone. Right, exactly. Okay. So, and then we have, boom, just when Avram gets there, after the promise, and Avraham, as the great knight of faith, follows God's command, there's a famine, and he has to leave.
It's all planned by God.
Hold on 1 second.
Just go the wrong direction.
Pardon me?
You know, Israel's pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
And you look down, and goes up to Egypt. Maybe if he'd gone the other way, there wouldn't have been a drought, he would have stayed in the land.
There was a drought in the land. It says, Vayihira Abarat. That's what it says. Maybe the place where he was, but whatever is going on, Avram has to leave. And now he's thinking to himself, all right, that didn't last very long. I would imagine God promised me this land, and now I got to leave. So the question I want to address is, not only is there a stark contrast between the promise and the reality, the promise of Lizaracha etin ha'aretz hazot, I'm going to give you this land, and now Avram leaving, but also the difference between Avram's decision to go and Avram's decision to leave. Why did he go? It's not a trick question.
Why did he go?
Why did he go?
Because
God told him to. Right? God told him to. It sounds like he's not going anywhere. He's very happy living where he is. All of a sudden, God says,
Hashem doesn't tell him
to. And then why does he leave? Why does he leave Canaan? God doesn't tell him to leave. Exactly. On his own decision, he decides to leave Canaan. That's also a stark contrast. So we have these two contrasts when we first meet Avraham. One, promise, that's not going to last so long. Out you go. Two, I'm going to tell you where to go. I'm going to make you a great nation. This all depends on me. Follow what I'm going to tell you to do. And then Avraham, on his own, decides to leave Egypt. So I want to look at different ways that some of our commentaries looked at Avram's decision to leave. Okay? What do you make of it?
I don't know. Maybe Hashem wanted him to struggle and under difficulties to be in the land. Hashem didn't tell him to go to Egypt.
Right. So maybe God wanted to stay.
Stay where you want
So you're saying, Shula, you're suggesting that Avraham failed. Right? God says, go to this land. And at the first sign of trouble, Avram heads for greener pastures. And the test is not only going to the land, but the test is the famine. And according to what you're saying, he failed. Because he should have stayed.
Till the next word.
Right. He should have, at the very least, he should have waited for the next message. Okay, excellent. Yes?
We did a very human thing.
Ah, okay.
I think it was impulsive. Maybe
so, on the other hand,
his family's going to starve. Maybe Sarah pressured him.
Why you blame? That's why would you blame her?
I'm just saying.
Always the wife.
Or don't blame her. Give her the credit. Right. This is excellent. This is excellent. So we have at our table, we have the same machloket, the same debate that went on amongst the commentaries. On the one hand, Elisheva saying, of course he has to leave. Right? We're not supposed to die for God, except in very few circumstances. And if Avram thought that he wasn't going to be able to survive and his family was going to die in Canaan, he has to leave. Elisheva suggesting that had he stayed, it would have been a failure.
No. But
hold on, one second.
It's a possibility that Hashem might have done something different.
But you also suggested that he was a human being and he had to make a human decision, and you can't rely on, maybe he's thinking, well, God spoke to me once, I don't know if he's going to speak to me again. Now it's up to me. I have to make my own decision. Hold on one second. So Elisheva, along those lines, it could be that had he stayed, it would have been a failure, because are we supposed to totally suspend our ability to make decisions based on, we have information we have. We have to make decisions based on the information we have. It's rare that God speaks to us. On the other hand, comes along Shula and says, oh, it was a failure to leave. God had told him to go. That's why he went. He should have at least waited to see if God was going to say anything. Right? The way that the text says it, it's immediate. Vayira ba'aretz, vayira Avram Mitzrayim. There was a famine, Avram left. It doesn't say, vayira ba'aretz, let's wait and see what's going to happen. No. Boom, he leaves right away. And that's a failure. We don't. It sounds like he doesn't stay there at all. He gets there, he looks around, there's a famine, and he jumps ship.
Yeah, maybe God would have told him to go into the other direction.
Right. Good. Now let's see what so this is perfect. We have at our table,
kingdoms that were always at war. I think it seemed a little more peaceful, Egypt, even though it wasn't going to be that good.
Yeah.
Well, we do have this notion. This is, you're bringing up something very interesting, which doesn't really play into our conversation that much. The text does tells us, right? V'haknani az ba'aretz. The Canaanites were there. Maybe that's why Avram left. Maybe it's a famine, and I got these hostile people who don't want me here to begin with. Maybe. By the way, Yosef Levenstein, who's watching on Facebook Live, says free choice. He sent them there, but then he had to choose to leave. Okay, so now we have two against one. We have Yosef and Elisheva against Rabbanit Shula. Okay, so let's see what the commentaries have to say, starting with page number 3. Okay, page number 3. This is the commentary of the Ramban, Nachmanides. Vayehi ra'av ba'aretz, and there was a famine in the land. Behold, Avraham went down to Egypt due to hunger, to live there temporarily in order to save his life in the days of drought, and the Egyptians exploited him without cause to get his wife. And the Holy One of Blessing avenged them with great afflictions and brought him out of there with cattle, silver, and gold, and Paro had commanded men to send him. Okay, so this should sound interesting. A Jew goes down to Egypt, and he's mistreated. And he gets out after God steps in with great wealth. Sound familiar? Somebody? The Exodus, right? Years later, the Jews go to Egypt. The Egyptians don't treat them well. God steps in, and the Jews live with great wealth. Says the Ramban, this is an example of something that he himself made famous, Maase Avot Siman Labanim, that whatever happened to the forefathers is a sign of what's going to happen to Bnei Yisrael down the road. It's a fascinating theory. And the Ramban says, here it is. And it is a hint from Avram, since his children went down to Egypt because of hunger to live temporarily in the land, and the Egyptians did evil to them and took their wives. Remember, the whole reason Bnei Yisrael ended in Egypt is because there was a famine where Jacob and his sons were living, and they went down to get food, and Yosef was in charge, yada, yada, yada. They end up spending, 200-something years enslaved, and then the 10 plagues, God steps in, and they leave Biruchush Gadol, the Torah says, right? With great wealth, right? As it says, and every baby girl you shall let live, and the Holy one a blessing avenged them with great afflictions until they were taken out with the silver and gold and sheep and cattle and many possessions, and they pressed them to be gone from the land. Not a single incident. Here it is. Lo nafal davar mikol me'ora ha'av shelo yeh babanim. Not a single incident that befell the father didn't befall the children. And this matter is explained in Bereshit Rabbah. The Pinchas said in the name of Rabbi Oshia, the Holy One said to Avram, go and conquer the way for your children. And you find that everything that was written regarding Avram was also written regarding his descendants, etc., etc. So that's sort of a side point, which may make us think that maybe this was part of God's plan. On the one, right? If we have this notion of Maaseh Avot Siman LeBanim, that what happens to the forefathers is a sign of what's going to happen to the children, then maybe it was okay for Avraham to leave because this was just a foreshadowing of things to come. However, the Ramban quickly turns away from that possibility. Elisheva, you have something to say?
I'm just very concerned because all the bad things have to happen before the good things. Does that mean we're constantly on this kind of...
Well, in this case, it's bad. It doesn't always mean that. In this case, yeah, those, I'm saying these are in these two twin.
Every single thing.
Yeah, but not every single thing is bad. Meaning,
the bad stuff has to happen as well as the good stuff, doesn't it?
Meaning, what he's saying is, what happened to the forefathers is a sign of what's happened to the children. So this is one example of it.
So,
Avram went down.
Would that not mean? I could be wrong, but would that not mean when you've got lots of bad stuff happening, you can always know that the good stuff's about to come?
No. It doesn't mean, it's not saying that there's always, it's not saying this pattern. It's saying each specific event represents the sign of something else that's going to happen to Bnei Israel. So maybe another event was all good.
Oh, okay.
Right? This was one specific event that went on that.
Okay.
Right? Now the Ramban says, page number 4, source number 3, and you should know that our father Avram committed a great sin unintentionally, in which he brought his righteous wife to stumble into transgression because of his fear of getting killed. And he should have trusted the name to have saved him, his wife, and all that was his, because Elohim has power to help and to save. These are very strong words from the Ramban. In Hebrew, Da ki Avram Avinu chata chet gadol bishkaga. Unintentionally, it was a great sin. He really is pointing out two sins. The first one was that he unintentionally put his wife in danger because going into Egypt, she was in danger. What was his first sin?
Leaving.
Why was that a sin? Because as we know, Elohim has power to help and to save. Also, his going out from the land of which he had commanded at the beginning due to famine was a transgression that he committed because Elohim would have saved him from dying even in famine. Meaning when he went into Egypt and said, hey, Sarah, tell them you're my sister, that was a sin. He should have just, once he was there already, he should have just trusted God. But even leaving to begin with was a sin. Going out from the land of Egypt due to famine was a transgression that he committed because Elohim would have saved him from dying even in famine. And because of this deed, it was decreed that his seed would be in exile. The Ramban takes it even further. The Ramban says the later exile, I mean, get this is hard to swallow. The later exile is a punishment for this. And because of this deed, it was decreed that his seed would be in exile in Egypt under the hand of Pharaoh. So the Ramban is really laying it on thick to Avram. He made two sin twice. One was inadvertent, when he thought he was going to outsmart the Egyptians by saying Sarah was his sister. But the first sin was not inadvertent. He leaves out unintentional when he talks about the second sin. The second sin was a choice. Avram made a choice to leave Egypt. And as Shula suggested, I didn't know that Shula was such a fire and brimstone commentator. But as Shula suggested, he sinned. He should have had faith in God. God put him there. God would have saved him even in famine. And it was a terrible thing.
He will send him the man.
Right, exactly. Right, he could have sent them, food from heaven, like he sent Bnei Yisrael when they were traveling in the desert, right? So this is a harsh critique of Avram on the part of Ramban, as explained. comes along the Ralbag, who's a later commentary, and he has a completely different view. I'll just give you the dates on the Ralbag. The Ralbag lived from 1288 to 1344. He's known as Gersonides in fancy whatever language that is. Levi ben Gershon, Rabbi Levi ben Gershon. And he, in his commentary, says there's something we could learn from this story. And it's as follows. Hato'elet harishon hu b'midot. The first outcome, the first usable piece of information we could learn from this story has to do with our character. V'hu hacharitzut shel bakashat hechrechi la'adam la'amidat gufo. Source number 4. La'amidat gufo mehamizonot umima sheyidmelahem. The first thing we could learn is the necessity of a person to act when it comes to fulfilling their basic needs. Halo tiresha Avram, im shekavar hivtichu Hashem yitaleh b'hatzlachat kinyanav, hitorer mipnei ha-ra'av shia be'eretz kenan alechel eretz Mitzrayim. Avram, despite the fact that God said, I'm going to make you a great nation, which would seem to also indicate that he's going to have a degree of wealth and that he's going to, materially, he's going to thrive as well, nonetheless, awakens because of the famine and leaves. The lo nimneh mehalicha sham mipnei ma shetzivahu Hashem yitaleh sheyishev eretz Kanaan. And Avram did, and the fact that God told Avram to settle in Canaan did not stop him, Avram, from leaving. Right? God says, go there. And he says, okay. And then he leaves. Right? The fact that God told him to go there does not stop Avram from leaving. Ki ein, here's the key. Ki ein mitzvat Hashem mitaleh ki im lehitiv la'adam. The mitzvot that God gave us, the Ralbag now gives a theological point, that the mitzvot that God gave us are for our own benefit, are for our own good. Lo she'amut b'sibatam. Not that we're supposed to die for them. V'laze yada Avram she'ratzon Hashem yitalehu she'yasur misham levakesh ha'terem. This is amazing. The Ralbag says, that's how Avram knew that he had to leave. It was God's will, Avram is saying, according to Ralbag. Oh yeah, it's true that God sent me here, but now he wants me to leave. Because, how do I know he wants me to leave? Because the mitzvot are for my own good. And if I stay here, I'm going to die. So this can't be for my own good. So not it's not only that Avram is saying, I got to leave. He's saying, God wants me to leave. I think what the Ralbag is saying is something radical. As clear as it was to Avraham that God said, Lech Lecha, go to Canaan, it was just as clear to Avraham that God is saying, now leave Canaan. We don't have a record of a voice coming like we had at the beginning when God says, Lech Lecha, you should go to Canaan, or you should leave your house to the land I'm going to show you. But the Ralbag is saying, that's just as obvious. It's just as clear. Let's keep going, and then I'll get your question. The reason he went to Canaan is so that he would be properly prepared, meaning physically able, to accept God's later promise of plenty. And you can't do that, and not only the physical, but also the spiritual. Right, we're going to see this in a second. Here, the Ralbag is building off something the Rambam, the Maimonides, says. We'll see in the next source. He's going to be better able to accept the divine inspiration if he's not starving. Right, if he's not dying of hunger. So the Ralbag is saying two things. One, it was clear to Avram that God wanted him to leave, because there was a famine. And God doesn't want us to die because of his mitzvot. He wants us to live. The mitzvot are to do us good. So staying can't possibly be a commandment of God. It's the equivalent of God saying, stay in a burning building. Right? That can't possibly be what God wants. The second thing the Ralbag is saying is that Avram would have only been able to accept the Shefa Eloki, the divine flow, right, the spirituality of his mission, if he was of proper body.
Suffering?
If he was no, not suffering. Exactly. That's what wants him to leave.
Oh.
Go to Mitzrayim, eat, be satiated, be healthy, so that you'll be, Avram is saying, and then I'll be able to fully connect to God. And here, I think the Ralbag is picking up on something the Rambam says in source number 5 on the bottom of page 4. Right? This is really beautiful. The Rambam says, Ki Adam Eif Sharlo, this is a famous part of the Guide to the Perplexed, where the Rambam says there are two purposes for the mitzvot. One purpose is to perfect us spiritually and intellectually, and the other is to perfect our society. Right? There are certain laws that create a perfect society and certain laws that prepare us spiritually, intellectually. And the Rambam says, certainly the spiritual and intellectual laws are the most important, but you can't achieve spiritual and intellectual excellence if you're starving. You can't achieve spiritual and intellectual excellence if you're always constantly running away and defending yourself against your enemy. You need first to find, it's like that the pyramid of needs, right? Our most basic need is safety, okay? And this is what the Rambam says. Ki adam eif sharlo sheyitzayer muskal v'yafilu lamdu alav kol sheken sheterer lo me'atzmo ba'od sheyesh lo ke'ev o ra'av chazak o tzama o cham o kor chazak. For a person that is suffering from great hunger, thirst, heat, or cold cannot grasp an idea, even if communicated by others, much less can he arrive at it by his own reasoning. So the Ralbag is telling us that Avram had two reasons to leave. One was because otherwise he was going to die, and that's not what God wants. God's mitzvot are supposed to be for our good. And the second was he certainly wouldn't have been able to understand God's spiritual message if he's suffering from hunger or thirst, etc.
So God would have prepared right away a lot of shefa in Eretz Kanan.
So now Shula's asking the question. If the Ralbag's right, why didn't God stop this famine?
Well, maybe he would stop it.
Why did he start it to begin with?
Well, maybe the famine had been going on and it was...
It doesn't seem to say that. That's a good point, although it doesn't seem to say that. It says, Vayehira Abbaaretz. It seems like it's being presented as new, or maybe not, but then why didn't God, as soon as Avram got there, if the Ralbag is right, why didn't God present him right away with the necessary material needs? That's the question.
But God didn't say you'll go there and never leave. He didn't say you'll go there and don't you dare leave the land. He just said.
But we could have had our cake and eaten it too. Meaning he could have gotten there, and God could have stopped this famine so that Avram could stay there and not die and be spiritually ready.
But yes, but then there would be no lessons and no hard work.
But what was the hard? Then what's the hard work?
Well, that he understands that he has to be spiritually ready. Like there must be work to get to that point.
But he was. I mean, really, God has already spoken to him.
But then we'd be too much like the angels, wouldn't we? We'd be healed, we'd be fair, we'd be perfect.
It could be that I think the conclusion of what you're asking, Shula, is that this was the test. This was a test. And he passed it by leaving. He didn't fail it by leaving, according to the Ralbag. Right? According to the Ralbag, staying would have been a failure because staying would have put him in a position, one, to die, and two, not to be physically ready and capable of achieving, of accepting the Shefa Eloki. So we have two diametrically opposed ways of looking at what the test was. The test, according to the Ramban, was to stay. The Ralbag is saying, according to the Ramban, leaving was a failure. According to the Ralbag, staying would have been a failure. And he proves his mettle by leaving. I'll read you a summation of this on source number 6 on page 5 from Rav Carmiel Cohen, who's a teacher at Yeshivat Birkat Moshe in Male Adumim. He says as follows. Mamash lehefech midivrei haramban sover haralbag. The Ralbag offers an opinion which is exactly the opposite of the Ramban. Shavtachat Hashem haita alula ligrom laAvraham lihisha'er be'aretz luchakot shehashem yifdenu mimavet. the Ramban says the promise of God, the Ralbag is saying here that God's promise would have caused Avraham to stay in Egypt and wait for God to save him from death. Ach Avraham amad b'nisayon zeh. Avraham passed this test, v'lo nishar ba'aretz, and did not stay in the land, ela hishtadel ba'atzmo l'hachayot et nafsho v'yet beito, but took measures to keep himself and his family alive. Avraham hevin heitev she'en kavanat HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tzivuyav alav l'shevet b'eretz Kanan. Avraham understood well that God was not commanding Avraham to stay in Canaan, li'sha'er ba gam b'itot ra'av u'mitzuka, under the circumstances of the difficulty and the famine. And then he quotes the Ralbag, ein mitzvot Hashem yitaleh ki'im lehetev la'adam, lo she'yamut b'sibatam, that God gives us the mitzvot for our own good, not so that we die for them. Ratzon Hashem hu she'Avraham ya'avor al hatzivui v'yid'ag la'atzmo.
What
God wanted, the way he puts it very provocatively, that God wanted Avraham to transgress God's decree of going to Canaan. By leaving, right, he's transgressing God's decree of going to Canaan and take care of himself. So we had it right here at our own table when I asked the question. We had those same two diametrically opposed ways of viewing what Avraham did. One way, the Ramban, Avraham failed, according to the Ramban, he sinned by leaving. He should have stayed and waited for a miracle.
Was he punished for that?
According to the Ramban, he wasn't, but the ancestors
were.
According to the Ramban, right? According to the Ramban, the reason why the Jews spent hundreds of years in slavery in Egypt is because of Avraham's sin by leaving. He should have stayed, which is setting aside that difficult point about the punishment. It's reasonable for the Ramban to say that, right? We shouldn't judge the Ramban too harshly. Because we're not talking about an average Joe. We're talking about Avraham. So Avraham gets, from time to time, a direct word from God. He just had it six verses earlier. So it's not it's not crazy for us to think that Avraham would get another one. So that's maybe why the Ramban is saying he should have stayed. The Ralbag says no. The Ralbag is taking a much more, I guess, rational, Maimedean position. His sin was, he would have, as opposed to the Ramban, who says he sinned by leaving, the Ralbag says he would have sinned by staying. And he passes the test by showing God that he could think for himself because he understands what God wants. And he wants us to live through his mitzvot. And he wants us to realize that they're for our own good and for our own benefit. And he realizes that if we put ourselves in difficult physical circumstances, then we're not going to be able to achieve the spiritual greatness that God wants of us. It doesn't suggest that we, you know, live a life of eat, drink, and be merry. That's not what the Ralbag is saying either. But there's a balance. And the Ralbag is saying, based on really the Rambam, is that you need to have your basic physical needs taken care of before you could achieve intellectual or spiritual greatness. And so we have these two diametrically opposed positions offered by Ramban and Ralbag.
All right. It seems to me that Avraham didn't have any, he trusted in God. They had a minute, and he also had free will. It seems like he had quite a good balance.
Yes, that's what the Ralbag is saying. You have to have a balance,
that's
exactly.
Lovely,
yeah.
Like
yeah.